Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Can you help me in giving a warm, a Radius welcome to Trayton Welch? Give it up for Trayton this morning. Woo! Welcome, man. All right. Well, hey, glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here, for sure.
You have anyone watching this morning?
I do. I think I have family at home watching live right now and maybe some friends, so really exciting. Yeah. Wish they could be here, but I know it's a long trek to be here for me to speak one time. Yeah. So
you can say hi to them right now if you want. So
family, hello. Friends, hello.
Hi, Mom, Dad, everybody.
Hey, Mom, Dad.
So, well, great. Hey, it's good to have you with us. Now, most people probably don't know a whole lot about you, so why don't you just open up and tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your story, where you're from, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I was born in Nebraska. We lived there very shortly before we moved to Minnesota, and so I was raised in Minnesota, Buffalo, Minnesota, about 45 minutes northwest of the cities. That's where I kind of was raised, and then we moved to Sioux Falls, South Dakota last year, so very recently. Maybe it was 2 years ago. Time flies, but so yeah, we moved to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, actually Brandon, right outside of Sioux Falls. And that's been very, very neat. It's been a blessing for our family, I believe. And so, yeah, growing up in Minnesota, we were a sports family. My mom and dad were running us all over the place, especially my mom was, you know, really running us all over the place. We played hockey. And so if you don't know about hockey, hockey is such a demanding sport in Minnesota, especially where, like, you have to be at the rink an hour early before the game. And my mom made sure of it. And it was tough to be able to, because we had me and my brother playing sports at the same time, especially hockey. It was really difficult to do because, I mean, we had a rink an hour this way and then a rink an hour this way. Me and my brother both split apart. But, no, so I grew up playing hockey since I was 5 years old, and then I also started football when I was about 5 years old. So I played both of those sports all the way throughout my high school career, senior year of high school. I played basketball for a little bit in there my middle school years, and I almost transferred to full-time basketball instead of hockey, but that didn't happen. And then I also did lacrosse from probably beginning of middle school to the end of high school as well, but didn't go out for lacrosse one season because I wanted to get faster, so I ran track. And I don't know if that helped or not, but I ran. So, yeah, it's been a good journey of Minnesota is very, very cold in the winter, but also very, very hot in the summer. It's a very humid cold and very humid hot, so it's very interesting weather. I got down here my first year in Laramie, you know, to play at the university here and go to the university here, and winter had started, and half the time I was sitting there waiting for winter to start, actually, because it is harsh winters out here, but it's just super windy, I think, is the big difference between Minnesota and Wyoming. Very windy, so, yeah.
Have you adapted to the wind yet?
A little bit, because actually it's pretty windy in South Dakota, too, so my family has kind of got a little taste of what I get every single day out here, too, but you can never really adapt to the wind. It's always windy, you know.
That is true. Now, you've had a lot of success in high school. Your senior year, you had 71 receptions, 1,302 yards, and 16 touchdowns, all of which are records for your high school at Buffalo there in Minnesota. You also averaged 144 yards per game, and you are the second leading receiver in Minnesota State history. You're kind of sandwiched between number one, Michael Floyd, who went to Notre Dame and then spent 8 years at the NFL. And then number three, who's just below you, is Larry Fitzgerald of the Arizona Cardinals, who has the second most receiving yards. So you've accomplished quite a bit. Tell us, what drives you in football, and kind of how did you get into it?
Yeah, so I actually didn't know about that stuff until my head coach had announced that at our senior year banquet, and I was very thankful to be in that position for sure. But, you know, growing up, I always kind of, starting in middle school especially, I wrote goals down of what I wanted to accomplish and what I wanted to do. And if you ask my parents especially, I'm very goal-driven and very, when I have those goals, I'm very driven to do something to accomplish those goals. And so growing up, I think it was middle school when I started to write those goals down on a sheet of paper. And it went, you know, make the varsity team, start on the varsity team, make it to the national football team, make it to the Nike opening, make it to Division I football, and then make it to the NFL. And so I was able to, you know, God has blessed me to be able to mark every single one of those things off the list except for the NFL so far. And so I've kind of recalculated those goals to, you know, create more specific goals before the NFL here, and we can get into that in a second. But, yeah, so for me it was being very goal-driven and then also understanding that it's incremental change over a long period of time because, you know, it's good to have goals in mind. And my strength coach hit on it this week, actually. Maybe it was last week, but he said, if you have a flight from Los Angeles to New York City and you are 1 degree off in that flight, you'll land in Washington, D.C. And so it's very important to have goals in mind, but to be always fixed on the end goal, it's not always healthy because you have to have incremental change over a long period of time. And that's what I try to do in middle school and high school. I went to the gym every morning around 6:30, 7 a.m. with my dad, and we lifted together. And even though maybe we didn't get the best lift some mornings because we were tired or not, but the step number one is to get in the weight room. Step number two is to lift, and it was just incremental change over a long period of time. And obviously God has blessed me to be where I am today, but you know, we need to take some footsteps. We need to take those steps of incremental change over a long period of time. Okay. So, yeah.
And that's not just in sports. That's in all of life. We need that incremental change.
Yep.
So you've talked a little bit about the weight room. Tell us, what do you do nutritionally? How do you stay at the top of your game?
Yeah. Nutritionally, it's tough because, you know, I've moved to tight end here at the university, and so I'm expected to put on a lot of weight, and I want to put on a lot of weight. And so I came in at about 207 pounds, and I just weighed in at 240 pounds on, what was that, Friday. And so it's been a tough journey of eating the right stuff in order to gain the right weight because I never wanted to gain the wrong weight. And so I went and talked to my strength coach about it at the end of the season, and I said, like, what can I do to, you know, be 240, 243, 243 pounds and still be efficient in the run game, in the pass game, and everything I do? And he said, well, you got to start somewhere. So step number one, give up fast food. And step number two, drink a gallon of water every day. And so I have that on my watch, screensaver. I have that on my phone screensaver, saying gallon of water every day and no fast food. And I've held pretty true to that, except for two times I texted my coach back home. I had Culver's because that has the best Butterburger out there. And so, yeah.
The Butterburger.
Yep. But accountability there, too, with my strength coach. I always tell him if I do have fast food, which I've only done twice at Culver's. And I also asked if Qdoba's okay because it's fresh food. And he said, yeah, that's fine. So, you know, it's being disciplined in that area. And you got to start somewhere. So I'm not there yet on the frozen pizzas or that stuff because I try to fill that stuff up. But you got to start somewhere. And for me, it was giving up fast food and drinking a gallon of water every day. So.
Okay, good. Now, I know Wyoming wasn't your only option. You were recruited by Minnesota. Nebraska was looking at you. You were considering Iowa. How did you end up in Laramie?
Yeah, the recruiting process for some people is very fun because, you know, they get so many offers. But for some people, it's very difficult because sometimes you're told stuff that you might want to hear, not what you need to hear. And for me, going through the recruiting process, I think Wyoming was one of the teams, one of the coaching staffs that truly held true to their word. They were honest with me. They were very upfront with me and what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. And the community out here was just, I loved it. My dad, brother, and I came out for an official visit here and went to a game and absolutely loved it because just the environment, the community, everybody around us was, you know, go Wyoming and stuff. And I know it's not all about football, but the people here were just great. And so that's where I ultimately wanted to go. And it was a tough decision because I did have opportunities elsewhere, closer to home. But for me, it was just, you know, I felt like this is the one door that God opened completely up to me. And he wanted me to take this step into this door, even though it was 14 hours away from me at the time. I kept telling myself, you know, I'm going to look back in 2 years if I stay close to home, and I'm going to say, well, you know, maybe why didn't I go to Wyoming? But if I'm at Wyoming and I look back 2 years from now, I'll say, it's not that bad. You know, my family's still there. Mm-hmm. You know, I still got friends back home. I still got my girlfriend back home from high school. And so, you know, it's a very neat opportunity for me, and I took it. So,
good. So, let's kind of talk about football now, transition to the season. The season a year ago with COVID had so many challenges, not only with COVID, but the very first game, few plays in, Sean Chambers, your quarterback, goes down. He's out for the season. And so there was a lot of, you know, conflict, a lot of adversity you had. Compare that season with this most recent one. Compare and contrast the challenges, how they've been same, how they've been different. What have you seen kind of with COVID, the whole nine yards?
Yeah, so every year is very difficult for, you know, athletes because we are committed to getting better every single day. And in order to do that, we have, you know, meetings and practice and meals and everything in between lifting, recovery, that we, you know, we're really busy almost every single day of the season. And we are busy every single day. Sundays is our days off. But so everybody sees Saturdays, right? But not everybody sees Monday through Sunday completely. And so for us as a group of guys, it's really tough. You know, every season is really tough. But last year when COVID hit, it was especially tough because, you know, coaches had to follow protocol. Players had to follow protocol that coaches gave us. And, you know, coaches essentially want us to be home, stay away from the virus, so we don't get contact trace, so we don't get the virus, and so our team doesn't have to sit out of a game. And I really honored those rules, and I stayed home, you know, a lot of times with the roommates or by myself, isolated, away from everybody else, because I wanted to honor what the coaches had set forth for us. And it was very difficult times because you are so alone, even though you are already alone from the season, right, because you're so busy in everything you do. And then outside, the little bit of free time I had, I was, you know, with my roommates at home or alone. And so, you know, God had called me to play for his glory and his glory alone and not man's glory, whether that be coaches, whether that be media, whether that be, you know, anybody else. Play for his glory and not for everybody else's glory. And so, you know, I'd catch myself during that COVID season, during fall camp, I'd be like, well, why isn't coach telling me I'm doing good? Or why isn't the media asking me a question or whatever it is? And, you know, God sat me down many, many, many days and said, isolated me and said, like, you need to play for me and my glory, not for your glory and for man. So that was a very tough situation for COVID season, and it was very tough for everybody to, you know, accommodate to those regulations and rules of we want to play ball. And so I think we did really good as a team, you know, following through with those rules so we could come ready to play every game. I know some other teams backed out on us, but – and then this year – you know, it had its challenges with the vaccine, right? The vaccine was a huge challenge for a lot of people and a lot of, you know, businesses, still is. And it was a very tough situation to be in because, you know, coaches had to follow regulations again. And vaccine was very strongly pushed in the NCAA. And so it was a very tough season as far as that went before the season started. And then during the season, too, you know, it had its ups and downs. And I think this season... You know, I just got done reading the book Winning by Tim Grover. He was Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant's trainer. And he talked about how Michael Jordan used to get very upset with his teammates who said that they were going to have a really good season, a championship year, because they haven't done anything yet. And so I think that this year we had very high expectations of a Mountain West champion. We were very capable of doing so, but that's all we looked at. We didn't look at the steps forth in front of us. And so I think we got caught up in that, and so we've won 4 games, right? That was really awesome. And then we lost 2, we lost 1, we lost 2, we lost 3, and then we lost 4. And I think for everybody, it was like our expectations were here with the Mountain West champion, and then we were here, right, after Air Force, then after New Mexico, and after Fresno, and these teams we lost to. And so, like, it goes for our Christian lives, too. Like, when we walk with the Lord, when we want a relationship with the Lord, we need to be, you know, intent means nothing without action, right? And so we need to act upon our intentions. And so if we have intentions with growing our relationship with Christ, then we need to act upon that with prayer, with getting in the Word, with spending time with Him. And, you know, you probably won't see results elsewhere or otherwise if you don't do those things. And so for me, during the season, it was very tough to see our team, myself included, kind of have very good intentions but not always act upon those intentions. So.
Okay. Now, overcoming adversity is a big part of life. It's a big part of football. And just a few weeks ago, we heard that starting quarterback Levi Williams is transferring out. So there's a lot of uncertainty at the quarterback position. You're even kind of facing who's going to throw to you this year. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with all of the uncertainty and the adversity and the things that life throws at you?
Yeah, so I know, especially in today's culture, we like to control things. Especially me, I like to control things, right? Even though it's, you know, sometimes subconsciously or whatever, consciously too sometimes. But, you know, I remember when my girlfriend had broke up with me. We're back together now, but my girlfriend had broke up with me back in my senior year of high school. And, you know, I was pretty broken. And I remember my dad sat me down and said, he said, control what you can control and give God the rest. And I'll never forget that and what he said to me. So that just goes for every day and every day of life. You know, we need to control what we can control and give God the rest in everything we do. And that's the same for season and football teams and anywhere you are you know, control what you can control. And so I can't control who's throwing it to me. I can't control what Levi did and the decisions he made. But I can control my decisions every day and what I want to do with my lifestyle. And so that's what I need to control. And I'm going to give God the rest. I'm going to give God who's going to throw to me. You know, I'm going to give God that other stuff. So yeah, ultimately it comes down to that, I guess. So
control what you can, what you can, and trust God for the rest.
Yep.
That's great. On your Twitter page, you have this saying. It says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Tell us a little about your faith, your spiritual journey, the role it plays in your life. How did you get started?
Yeah, so, you know, I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart when I was 5 years old, sitting on the couch with my mom and dad, and my dad was, you know, gone a lot for business, but my mom was really a true rock that I could go to for my faith foundation, and my dad was there too, but he had a very tough job at the time. But so I remember accepting Jesus Christ in my heart, you know, when I was around 5 years old on the couch of my old house. And then growing up, we were part of Living Waters Bible Camp was what it was called in Wisconsin. And my dad was a director there, and so we spent a lot of time there during summers because it was week-long camps for different age groups. And so we'd spend a lot of time there because my dad was the director of some of these camps. And so we were there one night, I remember, in the director's dorm room or whatever, because my whole family stayed there. And we had been talking about heaven and hell and what it means, what hell means, what heaven means, and you know, what Jesus did on the cross means to us and how we can have eternal life. And I remember my mom and dad were kind of in the room with me, but I was, like, thinking to myself, I was thinking, you know, heaven and hell, this is real stuff. I do not want to go to hell. And I remember looking at my mom and dad and saying, like, Dad and Mom, I do not want to go to hell. How do I make sure I go to heaven with Jesus someday? And, you know, they had explained to me, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so, you know, I accepted Jesus in my heart again that night. And it's never a bad thing to do it again and again. But so, yeah, that's the main time I remember truly giving my life to Christ. And it's had its... You know, giving your life to Christ doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's actually going to be, in my opinion, harder than a lot of people, because the world is so conformed to the world nowadays that it's really hard to veer off into the narrow path that leads to salvation through Jesus Christ. But, yeah, so for me, that was kind of my upbringing of faith. And
okay.
So,
great. You mentioned you didn't want to go to hell. If someone came to you and says, hey, Trayton, I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven, what would you say to them?
Yeah, so I'd say, you know, kind of what my mom and dad said about, you know, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, because, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and so we all are, you know, unrighteous, but God has given us an opportunity to be seen as righteous through Jesus Christ, because he sent his son on the cross to die for our sins, so that we can be seen righteous through God's eyes, through Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, I would say, you know, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And when you are saved, you should see a change in your life. And we can look in Colossians at the fruits of the Spirit, right? You should see a change in your life that results in, you know, bearing the fruits of the Spirit. And when you grow your relationship with Christ, you will see more and more of those fruits come about. And that doesn't mean we're perfect, but that means that we're striving to be more like Christ every single day, right? And so, yeah.
So we've got a lot of students in our audience. Tell us about your faith journey, because you came to Christ, you know, as a student. How did your faith influence your high school years?
Majorly, because I'll never forget listening to Tim Tebow one time. He said, everybody says YOLO in today's world. You only live once. Well, no, we live twice, and what we do here matters. Mm-hmm. And so all the way growing up through high school and middle school, everybody said, well, don't miss out on these opportunities while you have them, right? And that's the world, fleshful desires and stuff. And for me, it was like, it's more understanding now what I went through back then. But for me, I believe that in today's world, a lot of us will be judged. We're all judged for anything and everything that we do, and it's sad, right? But we're judged by other people for anything and everything that we do. And so why not be judged for something you believe in? And for me, that's what I wanted to live my life, how I wanted to live my life in high school. I wanted to be judged for something I believe in, and I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and so that's what I'm going to be judged for. And whether that's, you know, the fruits of the Spirit coming about because I want to be more like Christ every single day, I'm not perfect at all. But being able to be judged for something that I believe in, and I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I tried to be more like him every day. I tried to honor him and serve him with everything I had every day. And, you know, some days I still fall short, and we all do, but, you know, it was just important to me to be judged for something that I believe in. And I used to be called Jesus Boy on my football team because I don't cuss and everything like that. And, you know, for a lot of people, I'd be like, well, oh, no, I'm being called Jesus Boy or whatever. But for me, it's like, yeah, I'm being called Jesus Boy. And I, because it says in the Bible that those who are persecuted will be blessed. And so for me, anytime anybody persecutes me for believing in what I believe in, believing in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I take that as a blessing, like keep it coming, you know. So, yeah, so that's a different outlook than many people might have with their lives. But for me, it's like keep it coming because that means I'm doing something right. If there's haters, that means I'm doing something right, right?
Okay. So. Do they call you Jesus Boy at UW?
No, but they do. They do make fun of me sometimes for not cussing or anything like that. So I get it every day. Yeah, my music I listen to. I listen to NF a lot, gospel music and stuff, and everybody makes fun of me for that. But don't put Trayton on Ox, whatever it is. yeah.
So how do you stay on the straight and narrow? How do you stay accountable and not lose your way through the ups and the downs and the pressures and temptations of life?
Yeah. So for me, going back to the incremental change over a long period of time, because, you know, we all do fall short. And it says the difference between a righteous man and an unrighteous man is the righteous man will fall but get back up. And so for me, it's incremental change over a long period of time by saying that, okay, you know, I might have done this day or whatever, but God sees me as righteous through Jesus Christ and what he did for me. And so I'm going to do it whatever I can every single day, not a year from now, but every single day starting now. I'm going to do whatever I can to honor him, serve him, and glorify him, even though some days might be really tough, some days might be really easy and fun, but, you know, a lot of days when you're following Christ are tough, especially in the world today. And so, for me, it is that incremental change over a long period of time, because it talks about, in the book, The Slight Edge, it talks about how if you want to start a diet or if you want to get a six-pack, right, and you start working out, you're not going to have one tomorrow. If you work out for 2 days, you're not going to have one the third day. If you work out for a week, you're not going to have one by the end of the week. But if you keep consistently working out every single day for a year, you're probably going to see results. And so that's the same thing for my walk with Christ, is I need to every single day be disciplined, even though sometimes I might not want to, get in the Word, get in prayer, spend time with him, because I will eventually see results in that with my relationship with Christ. So,
to go down. So it's that daily relationship,
yep,
and just keeping that communion with him.
Yep, because we never know if we will have tomorrow, right? And so that's, it's a very real situation, and people do deal with, we're only guaranteed one thing, and that's death, right? And so what can we do today to honor him and serve him? And so don't worry about tomorrow, don't worry about yesterday, worry about today and what you can do right now to serve him. So
as you reflect on this last season that you just went through, what stands out to you? What lessons did you learn, and then how did your relationship with Jesus play a part in all of that?
For me, the biggest part was probably through the season continuing to learn how to be a Christ ambassador. We saw, you know, we see issues every single day in our country, and some people, so like the situation that happened in Minneapolis a few years ago, or last year, 2 years ago, we saw a cop make a decision, and it was taken as every single cop is bad. And so we need to understand that as Christians is, well, no, take a step back. There are so many brave men and women serving our county, serving our city, serving our country through being a police officer. There are so many great people out there serving us through being a police officer that we need to take a step back and not look at one person and say that's how everybody is. We need to take a step back as Christians and say, well, how are people looking at me in my walk with Christ? How are people looking at me and saying, okay, that's what a Christian is? And so for me, it was this season trying to every day learn more and more how to become a Christ ambassador. And by doing that, I needed to learn how to become more like Christ every single day. And like, I just wanted people to look at me in my walk with Christ and say, you know, that might be what a Christian is. Even though I will fall short, I want to be a Christ ambassador for the right things, for the right reasons. And so we can see that in our world everywhere today.
So. That's good. So you are a junior this coming fall. And I guess, what are you looking forward to as you enter the season? Do you have any goals and any predictions for the team?
Yeah, I'm very excited for this season because I think there was a, you know, we saw a lot of people leaving the transfer portal. Everybody's wondering what's going on. But ultimately, I think that means, it doesn't mean that a lot of people hate our university and left. It means that who is here is bought into the university and wants to be here. And so I think that's very encouraging for our team right now, is whoever wanted to leave got out of here, right? And so, but whoever's here is staying here and is bought into the team. That's what we want to build off of, and that's what we want to go on going forth. And so, again, like I said, it's every single day, one foot in front of the other. We're going to do what we can do every single day to become, as a football team, champions. We're not going to have that end goal in mind every single day, because we need to do today what we need to do today in order to become champions. So, yeah, I'm excited for that, and I'm excited to have more opportunities to serve the Lord, honor Him, glorify Him in everything I do. Me and Buck Coors actually started up a team Bible study for the team recently when we got back from break, so that's been very encouraging. Good. We feel the Lord has called us to do that. You know, there's so many opportunities every single day that we need to focus on the truths and the good that's in our life, not always dwell on the past and the agony that might have happened before. But yeah, just keep focusing on the truth, keep focusing, keep telling yourself what the truths are, what the good is in your life, and focus on that. So okay. Focus on the things above, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, shifting gears, focusing a little bit on what's happening today.
Yeah.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. Tell us who your pro team is. Who do you root for, okay?
Yeah, so Packers for me, Green Bay Packers, even though I grew up in Minnesota. There you go. Can I get an amen? Yeah. No, so Packers for me. My dad was a Packers fan growing up in Wisconsin. He grew up in Wisconsin. So we kind of took that under our wings as well, and we're Packers fans. I'm a Packers fan. Even though I grew up in Minnesota, it was very tough, you know. So.
I bet it was.
There's actually a lot of Packers fans in Minnesota, not many Vikings fans in Wisconsin, I'll say that. That's all
yeah.
I'll say.
If they would win a Super Bowl, it might help.
Yeah,
huh?
It might be. I'm very glad I'm not a Minnesota fan, because that's tough. They're so close all the time,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Not close enough, I guess.
Well, kind of pick to win and why, just kind of for fun, as we're looking at the big game today, who do you pick to win and why, and what do you maybe see happening in the game? What do you think? Any predictions about that?
I got to go. Well, it's not a prediction. I'm cheering for the Bengals because, you know, Logan Wilson's there, and they have a very cool team. I really like Evan, the kicker. He seems like a man of faith. And so, yeah, I'm cheering for the Bengals. I told you earlier, I hope the Bengals win off of Logan getting the pick and then Evan kicking the game-winning field goal, right? That would be an awesome game. And for me, honestly, I like the Rams, too, because Matthew Stafford has worked so long for being in the Super Bowl, and Cooper Kupp, I have wholeheartedly drafted him every single year in fantasy since he was a rookie from Eastern Washington, except for this year I let my uncle take him over me, and that was a big, big, big no-no. And so, yeah, but we don't play for money, no money. So just want to put that out there. But, yeah, so hopefully the Bengals, I want the Bengals to win by game-winning field goal by Evan off of a pick by Logan Wilson, so that would be awesome.
Pick and the kick.
Yeah, here we go.
The pick and the kick.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just want to say that, you know, we've talked before on the phone. We kind of interviewed and walked through things. And just as I've gotten to know you a little bit, I really appreciate your passion for Jesus. And it's not just that John 3:16 and you tout out there. In fact, I was speaking with a pastor that you spoke at his church a while back. And he says, I've had some guys come through and they've talked about their faith. And he says, you could tell it's something they just say, but I didn't really see the genuine deal. And he said, I see the genuine deal in Trayton. And just in our interaction, I see that. And I want to just say thank you for taking a stand. And before we let you go, I'd like to pray for you. And I'd like the rest of us just to pray for him. Can we pray for you this morning?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Just go ahead and just stretch your arms out this morning. Father God, I thank you first for the wonderful gift of Jesus who died for our sins. And Lord, that you have revealed yourself to Trayton even at a young age and how you've impacted his life. God, I thank you for the stands that he's made, the stands that have maybe cost him some friends or some ridicule, some nicknames. Lord, I pray that he would stand strong for you. Lord, I pray that whatever challenges he faces through this school year, through this season, God, all through his life, that you would remind him that there is another in the fire, as we sang about today. You're always with us. You're Emmanuel. You never leave us, and you never forsake us. I pray for wisdom for him. I pray for strength. I pray for protection on the field and as he's working out. Lord, that you would keep him free from injury, from sickness. Lord, I pray for strength, spiritual strength, physical strength, and emotional strength to make those right decisions, that incremental change every day. Lord, I pray that you would use him for your glory as he's trying to live for you and play for you. Put him on a platform that he can exalt you and people would know you all over the world. We thank you for him. Bless him now in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Bless you. Good to have you. You can love Jesus and still play sports, right? You just hit someone in the name of love, you know, yeah. You know, Logan shared how he didn't want to go to hell. And I don't think anyone would want to go to hell. And the verse that he shared was Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That word, Lord, it's a Bible term that means master. It means boss. It means leader. And there are so many people who live this world, and they really, it's in a way, they live like they don't believe that Jesus is raised from the dead, because just the way they speak, their attitudes, their life, they're just going through life acting like God doesn't exist, or he's not alive, or that they're not going to see him someday. And all of us someday are going to stand before God, and there's one of two places we go. It's heaven or it's hell. And the way to heaven is by confessing Jesus as being our Lord. That means he's our leader, that he's going to call the shots. Instead of me living for myself and pleasing myself and doing what I want to do, it means that now I am going to live to please God. He's the one that calls the shots in my life. I want to do what pleases him. And God wants a relationship with all of us. Trayton mentioned John 3:16, God so loved the world. You realize God loves you? He wants you to love him back. And he says he gave his son Jesus that whoever believes in him would not perish, would not go to hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. And maybe there's some of you here today, you've never made that decision. You don't have a relationship with God. I'd like to give each one of us here today and those of you watching online an opportunity to have that relationship. So I'd like everyone just to bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. As you're here today, and maybe something that Trayton has said has kind of touched your heart and you realize that you're not where you need to be with God. You know that in your life, that if you died, maybe you wouldn't go to heaven, or maybe you're sure you wouldn't go to heaven. God loved you and I so much, he sent Jesus to die for our sin. How many this morning would say, I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life? I need to declare that he's going to be the leader, with no one looking around, a moment between you and God. How many would say, I want Jesus to save me from my sin. I want him to forgive me. I want him to save me from hell. I want to go to heaven. If you're here this morning or you're watching online, if that's you, would you just slip your hand up today? Just lift your hand up high. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? You'd say, I want to become right with God. I want that relationship. If you're watching online, wherever you're at, and you know God's tugging on your heart saying, I need a relationship with you, I want you, just go ahead in the privacy of wherever you're at, just raise your hand and say, God, I'm responding to your call for a relationship with you. I want you to be my leader. I want to follow you. Anyone else this morning, you'd say, Craig, that's me. I want a relationship. Thank you. I see that hand there in the back. Anyone else this morning? I'm going to say this prayer, and I want all of us to repeat it together, no one praying alone. Let's say this. Lord Jesus, I know you died because of my sin. I have done wrong, I need to be forgiven. I'm sorry. Wash me of my sin. Make me clean. I declare that you're my leader. I will follow you. Be my Lord. I choose your way over my way. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. Help me to walk with you every day. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.